We'll have a talk with Greek bankers who are keeping their heads down with the banks closed there. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. Greece and its creditors have entered a 48-hour countdown. The government in Athens has worked out a request for a new financial rescue plan that would run for 3 years, with European Union heads of state headed for a summit on Sunday with the power to say yes or no to new money. Greek banks today remain closed, with only modest cash withdrawals and card transactions permitted. And as Marketplace's Stephen Beard found out in Athens, Greek depositors at wit's end have been directing some of their frustration at their bankers.
Some banks here remain open because many pensioners don't have a cash card and so can't use an ATM. The bank workers have to face them.
All the customers are aggressive. They are upset with the system and with us.
Efi Panoutsakopoulou has to explain to customers that she can take their application for a cash card but nothing else. That's not what they want to hear.
Today somebody told me that they have a gun and I'm going to kill you, because we didn't let him to open his safety deposit box.
Customers threaten abuse, and if all else fails, they plead.
There is an old person coming in. He says that I'm going to die soon. I want to open my deposit box, and we cannot open it. So he starts crying. There are other old people coming in, then they want money, and they are crying.
Exhausted, she's close to tears herself as she tells me this. But Helen Stathis, a high-flying executive at another bank, is angry.
I am angry because I don't want to lose my dreams. I have worked very, very, very hard, and I don't like it that I see my dreams being destroyed.
40 years old, divorced, a mother of two, she sacrificed a lot to get where she is. But the fact that her bank and her career are tottering doesn't elicit much sympathy from family or friends.
They seem a bit jealous sometimes, or they treat me not in a fair way, saying that I should not be speaking because I still have my job, that I have not suffered a lot.
You haven't actually suffered a lot.
Well, that's not true.
She's had many sleepless nights worrying about the plight of her customers, and she's had a 20% cut in her own salary. Also, she stresses government overspending is mainly to blame for Greece's woes, not the banks.
We suffered from the crisis. We did not create the crisis.
And she, like Efi Panoutsakopoulou, is deeply anxious about the future.
I don't know what to feel. And now I think that everything is falling apart.
In Athens, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Let's check the numbers. The 100 share index in London is up 1.1%. The DAX index in Germany is up 2%. Somebody thinks Greece and Europe will come to terms this weekend. The Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are all up about 1%. The super volatile CSI index in Shanghai went up for the second day in a row after a big plunge on Wednesday, up 5.4% after new government policy changes aimed at curbing the selling in China. There's news today from the International Energy Agency that its forecasters expect crude oil prices to fall further. The reason? Global demand could decline, especially in Europe, if Greece falls off the euro. And supply could go up with the return of Iranian oil if a nuclear deal is ever reached. Crude is cheap today, although up 0.8% to just above $53 a barrel. The governor of Puerto Rico has said his territory's $72 billion in debt is, quote, not payable, and something has to give to avoid what he calls a death spiral. The governor called on supporters to make Puerto Rico's debts a political issue in the mainland U.S. Republican candidate Jeb Bush says he supports a bankruptcy option and statehood for the territory. And Hillary Clinton told Reuters that she supports bankruptcy as well. Leon Krause, anchor and correspondent for Univision's KMEX in Los Angeles, has been reviewing Puerto Rico's options. Thanks for connecting here, Leon.
Hi, David. How are you?
I'm all right. People are leaving Puerto Rico. We had a report on this a few days ago on this program because they can't find work. Wages are low. Yet I see that some economists think that a good idea for Puerto Rico is lowering the minimum wage.
Yeah, what a terrible story. The facts are painful in Puerto Rico. When you think of that debt, imagine Detroit times four. And some economists do indeed argue that the answer should be to lower the minimum wage to make the island more competitive and help save these lower wage jobs that are going elsewhere and fueling this terrible exodus. But this seems both politically unlikely and honestly socially dangerous too. It does sound a lot like Greece.
There are disturbing parallels, you know, clearly. But, I mean, it does have a relatively well-educated population, and there have been periods where manufacturing blossomed on Puerto Rico.
Yes, absolutely. Especially, for example, Big Pharma. There are other success stories. But the problem here, as you said before, is lower wage jobs. And these are the people that are leaving, and it makes complete sense for them to leave. The numbers are honestly staggering. I mean, when I did some research on it, fairly soon, 2/3 of all Puerto Ricans might be leaving off the island. So, I mean, that is just, it paints the picture of like a ghost town or a ghost island in Puerto Rico. It's incredibly sad.
You're expecting default, Leon? What do you think?
The first thing one should probably point out is that the two leading candidates from both parties, Bush and Clinton, seem to agree that bankruptcy should be an option for Puerto Rico because it's either that or risk chaos. A bailout seems highly unlikely. It's not politically viable. Another option, of course, is independence. Some say that would give Puerto Rico the economic sovereignty it needs. Experts seem to agree that statehood is also an option but wouldn't really solve the current crisis. I think there are really very few answers, no easy answers. I think default is probably the clearest option, but it's painful to even say, right?
It's even painful to articulate. All right, Leon Krause at KMEX in Los Angeles. Thank you for this.
Thank you, David. It's always a pleasure.
And an obscure dispute about music royalties means British Broadcasting Corporation stations cannot play The Doors, Journey, Bonnie Raitt, and Neil Young as of now. Those artists pulled out of one piece of a copyright agreement that the BBC has. DJs and other producers have been warned none of those artists, no sampling, no cover versions either. Now let's play what I will call reverse desert island discs for a second here. If you could never hear the music again from one band or artist, would it be Neil Young, Bonnie Raitt, The Doors, or Journey? Do we have agreement, my friends? It's the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.